Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Very warm welcome to our worship as we continue our journey through Holy Week. It's good to have you with us here in church, or if you're joining us at home. Christ himself carried up our sins in his body to the tree, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us confess our sins. Most merciful God, we confess to you before the whole company of heaven and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. Forgive us our sins, heal us by your Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit,
and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you let us convert you into currency and commodity so that you can pay the price beyond all accounting. May we offer our misused powers to you, knowing that you can transform them, knowing that even this betrayal is still a kiss, through Jesus Christ, the Passion of God. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the son of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary of the world. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you're going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So, after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Sanctify us in the truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. So here we are again, pondering, taking Jesus at his word. The journey thus far, of course, we've been with Mary and Martha and thought about being there in the moment, being content to be ministered to. Last night we reflected on those harsh words, but words which were perhaps fashioned by the urgency of the situation, the love and the hate. And tonight the dial gets knocked up again as this kind of period of three services come to an end before we go into the one service that is Thursday, Friday and Sunday. The dial gets notched up. And so the words for us, perhaps unsurprisingly, to ponder as we think about taking Jesus at his word is, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." I quite like the etymology of words, quite like the word etymology in itself, but finding the root of where words come from. Not that I'm a language person in the sense of knowing these things, but apparently it comes from the Latin, and it means to hand over, which we can see the kind of connection, betrayal and handing over, as we think of Judas. And as we think of Judas, I mean, I think first of all, there's that little troubling bit here in John's Gospel, isn't there, where Jesus seems to plot his betrayal, doesn't he? Plots the character, and there's that rather, well, I find it very uncomfortable bit between bread, which of course in John's Gospel is the bread of life and all the stuff that we get from that, and of course here we think of the bread of life, what we'll receive this evening. And yet it's bread that's dipped that becomes the means by which Judas betrays him. Judas becomes the betrayer. But thinking about this betrayal and handing over, and thinking about Judas, and I suspect there was that sense which we've probably all pondered before of Judas saying, Jesus is not doing what he wants him to do. I've tried really hard to make Jesus the political agitator, the Messiah that we all want. And, you know, we can get a sense that if we look at the sort of story, the expectation for the Jews was a Messiah who would come and sort everything out. And what they got was Jesus, who resolutely resisted being put in a pigeonhole of their making, if you like. And so Judas perhaps symbolizes that. And he hands him over. He betrays him. And says, really, I've done all I can for you. It's your fault, really. It's your fault. You're not doing what I thought you were going to do. Off you go. And I wonder what feelings he was left with, and we'll come back to those in a minute. But I guess there's a connection for us to think about here, and this word betrayal, but perhaps thinking about that image of handing over. And I guess we can all think of moments in our life when we've had to hand something over. And that can feel a bit like betrayal. So let's just think for a moment. I mean, certainly in you know, relationships that break down, we can say, it's got as far as it can go. I need to hand this over. I can't do this anymore. If we think of elderly parents that, you know, I vow to never say, don't put me in a care home, because it puts an unbearable burden on the children who then have to hand them over because they've reached the end of their ability to cope. And in the midst of that is some sense of this word betrayal. That's the kind of, we feel, the sort of toxic element. And that, so we can connect with this, I think. We can connect with this handing over, with what's going on here. But going back to Judas, you know, the difficulty as we think of him and this betrayal is there isn't a happy ending, is there? You know, we think about Peter betrayed him as well. We think about more or less everyone else actually around Jesus, one way or another. They all abandoned him. But Peter, there's a happy ending. You know, he becomes the main man in a way, doesn't he? And so on. Whereas Judas, we imagine that he, I expect, handed Jesus over and thought, well, that's it, I've done. It's not going to have any emotional cost for me. But actually, as we know, when we think about sometimes we've handed things over, we know that there is a cost. It doesn't, you know, these things don't go away. You don't sort of suddenly say, this has happened and it doesn't matter anymore. It does. It becomes part of us in a way. And perhaps Judas thought, well, it'll all be okay, and I'm done with it. But of course, I mean, we don't know the story in John, but in Matthew's gospel, of course, he goes and gets his silver, gets his booty, and hears of the crucifixion and kills himself. There isn't a happy ending to the Judas story. And that's, in a way, what makes it all the more tragic. And I suspect we'd like to think that if he encountered Jesus again, there would be some redemption, there would be some restoration, there would be some putting right of what went wrong. And so to kind of draw things up, draw things together, there's something for us here about handing over, thinking about Judas, thinking about betrayal, thinking about how we are all part of that, both in our own lives individually, but also as we think of our faith. We're all kind of bowed into that. And we should, in a way, notice it. We should pay attention to it because it's real. But we should also, I suppose, and this obviously as we come to the business end of this week, we hold it before the cross. Because that cross is the way in which all the little betrayals are held and absorbed and taken, and I don't want to say dealt with in the sense of dealt with in the way that they're kind of wiped away, in the way we don't, you know, they don't matter, they're not part of who we are, but they are forgiven, I suppose, ultimately is what we're saying. But the cross is that symbol of forgiveness that is plonked into the midst of our experience, all our betrayals, all our failures, all our handings over, all the things we've not taken responsibility for, all the things where we said, it's not our problem, you deal with it, I've done my best, that's as far as it goes. All those unfinished feelings, we hold all that stuff before the cross, at least I do, on Friday, and know that somehow those open arms hold it, embrace it, take it, and that we are, through that, on the journey to healing and forgiveness and reconciliation. That which we hoped for Judas, but tragically wasn't to be for him. So let's just hold on to that word. One of you, or rather number of words, very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. Think of our own betrayals, our own things we've handed over, we've not taken responsibility for. Hold them in the quiet. And then James will lead us in some prayers.
Let us pray. God the Father, have mercy upon us. God the Son, have mercy upon us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy upon us. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, have mercy upon us. From all evil and mischief, from pride, vanity, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and from all evil intent, good Lord, deliver us. From sloth, worldliness, and love of money, from hardness of heart, and contempt for your word and your laws, good Lord, deliver us. From sins of body and mind, from the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil, good Lord, deliver us. From famine and disaster, from violence, murder, and dying unprepared, good Lord, deliver us. In all times of sorrow, in all times of joy, in the hour of death, and at the day of judgment, good Lord, deliver us. Hear our prayers, O Lord our God. Govern and direct your holy church. Fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us boldness to preach the gospel in all the world and to make disciples of all the nations. Enlighten Nick and Paul, our bishops, and all who minister with knowledge and understanding, that by their teaching and their lives they may proclaim your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give your people grace to hear and receive your word, and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived. Strengthen those who stand. Comfort and help the faint-hearted. Raise up the fallen, and finally beat down Satan under our feet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the leaders of the nations into the ways of justice and peace. Guard and strengthen your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, that she may put her trust in you and seek your honour and glory. Endue the High Court of Parliament and all the ministers of the Crown with wisdom and understanding. Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice, honesty, and truth. Give us the will to use the resources of the earth to your glory, and for the good of all creation. Bless and keep all your people. Bring your joy into all families. Strengthen and deliver those in childbirth. Watch over children and guide the young. Bring reconciliation to those in discord and peace to those in stress. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help and comfort the lonely, the bereaved, and the oppressed. Keep in safety those who travel and all who are in danger. Heal the sick in body and mind, and provide for the homeless, the hungry, and the destitute. Show your pity on prisoners and refugees, and all who are in trouble. Forgive our enemies, our persecutors and slanderers, and turn their hearts. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the peace of Christ, both those who have confessed the faith and those whose faith is known to you alone. And grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us true repentance. Forgive us our sins of negligence and ignorance, and our deliberate sins. And grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to your holy word. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Merciful Father, turn us from sin to faithfulness and from disobedience to love, and prepare us to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ our Saviour, who is alive and reigns, now and forever. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the Lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Standing at the foot of the cross, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant, and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you, and to proclaim you as Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.